I've been having fun with these lessons and thinking of the things that we need to reclaim for ourselves that I think are kind of messed up a little bit. So I've been enjoying doing these lessons, learning about our identity in Christ, learning about reclaiming prayer, learning about reclaiming reading the Bible last week, reclaiming repentance. Like I've enjoyed studying these things and learning more about them. And today is going to be yet another one, and then before long we're going to start on our marriage series, Reclaiming Marriage, Reclaiming Godly Marriage. So with that being said, I want to tell you guys a little story first to kind of set up stuff and hopefully make it make sense. Last December, I had a Christmas party to go to for Glen Rose Transportation Management, which is one of the companies that I work for. And I thought it was going to be one of those things where you go, you shake hands, you say hi to everybody so they know that you're there, you eat some terrible rich people food, and then you get to go home. Yeah, I like hamburgers, so I'm not much into all the fancy fish and syrup and all that kind of stuff on your plate. So anyway, so we went to a restaurant called 1890, I think is what it was called, over in Granbury on the Square. Is it 1890? Is that what it's called? Yeah, so we go in there and they had like steak or something gross, and then they had fish, and again, no hamburgers, so I chose the fish and had fish. And anyway, while I'm sitting there, that isn't actually part of the story. The story is that while I'm sitting there, I had a guy sitting next to me. His name was Gary Worley. It turns out that he is one of Byron's attorneys, and so he was there just making sure that it didn't get too out of control. No, I'm kidding. He was there because Byron had invited him, and he and I get to talking, and of course, I like to turn the conversation to Jesus, and we start talking about Jesus, and it turns out that Gary and his wife have a house somewhere or multiple houses or something on Lake Granbury, and they have like marriage retreats and stuff out there for people, so that's one of the things that they do. And then in talking to him, I found out about the jail ministry. So we're talking about the jail ministry, and he talks about how long he's been doing that for 3 or 4 years, and it's been a blessing and all that kind of stuff. And if I back up a ways to whenever I was going to the Stonewater Seminary, at one point we had the opportunity to go on a prison ministry, and that was a couple times. Some of the guys were doing that, and while I was there doing the seminary classes, I wanted to be able to go, but things got messed up, and I never got to go on one of the prison outings that they did with this ministry called Mike Barber or something. But anyway, so I had an interest in jail ministry, so I start talking with Gary about the jail ministry, and he says, hey, I'll put you in contact with the guy over in Granbury that does the Hood County jail ministry that I'm involved in. So I'm like, okay, cool. You know, he said he can tell you all the info. So the next day, I get an email from Gary, which was to me and to a guy named Ken Horton, said, hey, James is interested in more info on this jail ministry. Get in contact with him. So I reply, and I tell him, it's me. Here's my phone number. Call me whenever. And he did. He called me up later that day, and I talked to him about the jail ministry and tried to understand a little bit more. And I said, I want to do this thing, so what do we have to do? And we ended up going and meeting in Granbury at Chipotle, which is not a rich people restaurant. It's a very good restaurant with burritos that Cheeto can't even finish one, but I can finish two. But anyway, so we go over there to Chipotle, and Cheeto actually comes up there with me. And did you eat or did you not eat there? Okay, I didn't know how the story went. So so we hang out with Ken for a little while. He gives me the application and gives you one also, right? We fill those out, and then they get my paperwork done because I filled it out the same day, and then Cheeto filled out his, but the guy didn't see it in his email or something. But anyway, so out of that, skip forward, that was back in December sometime, and then come into January, I finally get my chaplain badge thingy that you have to get into the jail as a chaplain, and I get to go my very first night up there. So that was cool, and then I got to go again this last week. So whenever I met Gary that night, I thought that my purpose was just to go there, shake hands, say hi, and get to leave out of there. But it turns out that there was a different purpose for me being there. It was there to meet Gary and learn about the jail ministry and to be blessed by the Lord to talk to these inmates over in Hood County Jail. So my purpose there was different. And I think that it's sort of the same way. Here's where I go relating my story. It's sort of the same way whenever we meet Jesus. Like, we think we have this purpose after meeting him to live out our lives here on earth, and then we're greeted at heaven's door by Jesus and maybe St. Peter and all that kind of stuff when we get there to the door, and we believe that our purpose in meeting Jesus is just to escape our eternity in hell. Like, that's what we start to think, that was the purpose, that was the reason why we met Jesus. And that is, like, part of it. That's something that we do, is we get to escape hell and we get to go to Jesus. But I don't think that's the real purpose of meeting Jesus. I think that it's so much more than just getting to meet him, right? It's a lot bigger than that. So we've been reclaiming all these different things in our walk with Jesus, and today I want us to start reclaiming something else. I want us to start reclaiming our purpose in Christ. Because I think we need to change our mindset back to what it needs to be as we face all these different struggles and things that we go through every day and every week. There may be some things that we think about our purpose that are wrong, and so I'm up for completely reclaiming our true purpose in Jesus. Are you guys up for that? Okay, all 30,000 people said yes for the recording. So, I've got to turn to your Bibles, Matthew 5. You guys can do that, but it's going to be a little bit before we actually get there. So, I first, before we look at Matthew 5 and what I believe our purpose is, I want to look at our world that we live in and see if we can figure out what that, how that contrasts to what our actual purpose is. So, we live in this world where it's okay to lie to get ahead. Do you guys agree with that? Have y'all seen that in your lives? It's okay to tell little white lies or whatever to get ahead, or lie to the government about something, or, you know, whatever the case may be, lie to the boss to do something. Like, the world says that's okay because you're moving on ahead and it'll all be okay. But have you guys ever been on the other side of a lie and then you find out that it was a lie, and then it hurts. It hurts whenever you're on the other side of a lie. So God says that it's not okay to lie, whereas the world says that it is, because it's hurtful. It's not a good thing to be lying. And then you can end up in this whole web of lies, of other lies, and just ends up in a scrambled up, messed up web of lies. So we also live in a world where every second, and I looked this up, every second, 28,258 users are watching pornography on the internet. Now, God said not to lust. And while he was with us in the flesh, he took it a step further, and he said that if you lust after someone, then you're committing adultery in your heart. So that's what that is all about, is committing adultery in our hearts. So I believe that that's true. So that's the world that we live in, and God says not to do that. So we live in a world that's divided by so many different things. We have the right, we have the left, we have conservatives, we have liberals, we have colors of people, we have financial classes. Like, we have all these different things that separate us in this world. And people look at that, and that's how they kind of rank everything, right? But Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourselves. He didn't put any ifs on that, like if they're the right money class, if they're this, if they're that. He tells us to just love our neighbor. But the world that we live in says something completely different than love our neighbor. It says stomp on your neighbor if that's what it takes to get ahead in the world. This is a big one, because I think that our country was kind of founded on this, but we live in a world where the Bible isn't really an authority, because people have all these false gods themselves. Like, they put themselves on this higher plane than what the Bible should be on, so they don't believe or trust the Bible. And since the Bible isn't an authority to so many, including many people that are proclaiming the name of Jesus, sin has just, like, run rampant through this world that we live in. You guys follow me so far on that, right? Am I right? It's a messed up world. There's all kinds of stuff. You can just watch the news and see, you know, these violent protests. You can see beheadings overseas. You can see, like, just this mess that we have created. All we have to blame is people. So the world doesn't want anything different, it seems. Like, there's always people that are out there saying we need to have peace and harmony and we need to have all these different things, but it seems like the world doesn't want anything different, or we would have been changing things by now. So do you guys want to know why the world doesn't want anything different? Everybody's nodding yes. Okay, good, I'll tell you. I think the prophet Jeremiah said best when he said this right here. This is from Jeremiah 17:9. He says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" That didn't come up on the screen at all. One job. So that's what the prophet Jeremiah said. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So he's saying that our heart is a mess and that it's sick and that we don't really understand these things. And then Jesus, he said, "Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah." And Isaiah said this, "You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." That scripture didn't come up there either, because there's more to it that I was going to read. And I would heal them, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear but did not hear it." So Jesus talked about how people's eyes would be closed and how their ears would be closed. They wouldn't hear what was being said, but that if they did, that he would heal them and heal them of sin. That's one of the big things of trusting Jesus, being healed of our sin. The last one, the Apostle Paul said it this way. And I don't have it written down, but "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness." So all that right there to say that our world is broken. Like, it's a mess. And it seems to be the biggest mess than what it's ever been at this time. Believers in Jesus being killed. All the division that we see in our own country. All this big, mess. So our world is completely and totally messed up. And it's so messed up and people don't even realize just how messed up it is. And so they want to keep it the same. It's just broken by sin. But I thank God that some of our eyes have been opened up to the truth. And we're able to see this world that we live in. It's a dark world that's consumed completely and totally by sin. So if this dark world is so consumed by sin and so dark, so where's the hope? Jesus answers that. Jesus said, and you can put it up on the screen, I think, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So Jesus is the light. So he brings light into darkness. Now, what happens whenever light comes into darkness? What happens when you light a candle in a dark room? It lights up the whole room, right? And your eyes can eventually adjust and you can see all the different things in there. So you start to see in the darkness whenever there's just a little bit of light inside of there. And Jesus is light. So when we have Jesus in our life, he pushes away that darkness. He pushes it out away from us. And he comes into our lives and he gives us a purpose. So whenever we've trusted Jesus with our life, whenever we have confessed our sins, when we have gone to Jesus and asked him for forgiveness of those sins, and we have repented and turned the other direction like we looked at last week, reclaiming repentance, when we've done that and we've trusted Jesus with our eternity, then Jesus comes into us and he becomes our light. And then this right here is what Matthew 5 says. We're going to start in verse 14. This is Jesus talking to the people listening to him. You are the salt of the earth. I'm sorry, I got to start one more. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So I think that right there is our purpose. Whenever we've trusted Jesus, He calls us to be a light in the world. Our purpose is to glorify our Father in heaven. So it seems like it's our purpose to shine bright in this dark world, because as a believer, we have Jesus inside of us. We have the light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," and He's in us. So we should be a light in this dark world. So if we have this light in us, then why would we want to put it under a basket? Or another translation says, put it under a bowl. But to hide that light, why would we want to hide that from everybody? We would want that to shine as bright as possible in the world. So if our purpose is to be light in this world, because Jesus resides in us and we're to live in this world until we can go to be of that kingdom, then how do we live out this purpose? And I made a note of three of the things. So first of all, we have to really trust Jesus. Like, it's an all or nothing gig. Jesus doesn't just want a little part of us. He doesn't want lip service where we say that we're trusting Him, but we live in our own little world and we don't really trust Him with everything. He wants us to trust Him fully. Not be one of the people that has the sticker on the back of the car, wears Jesus t-shirts, and always makes it to church, and all this kind of thing. Jesus wants every last bit of our entire being. He wants us to live out this life that we're called to. The Pharisees, which I played one of those in the promise, they had this outer thing. Like, they wore the right clothes, they prayed the right prayers, they did all these fancy things. So on the outside, they looked like they were just holier than everybody else. But Jesus called them out on that stuff all the time. He's like, you guys look the part, but really your hearts are so hardened inside of you. So we don't want to be those kind of believers. We want to be people that really, really trust Jesus, that we've given Him our entire selves. Number two, we want to obey Jesus. And I mean, like, really, really be obedient to Him. We don't make up any kind of excuses or anything like that. Jesus isn't going to take some kind of excuses when we get to heaven and we're answering for everything we've done. Now, He forgives us whenever we ask Him to forgive us, and He forgives us for everything past, everything present, and everything future. But that doesn't give us a license to go out and just be disobedient all the time, because if we're like that, we're not really trusting Him. We're not really being obedient to what He calls us to do. Even in the Great Commission, He tells us to go out and make disciples and teach them to obey Him. So obedience is a big part about living out our purpose. And that's for this reason here. If we are saying that we have trusted Jesus and that we are followers of Jesus, but our lives look completely different than that, then we're not really being a light in the world, right? What's the term for somebody that says that they're a follower of Jesus, but really they go on about living their lives just however they want to? Hypocrite. We hear that kind of stuff all the time. They're hypocrites. They say that we're accused of being hypocrites if we're not living the life that God tells us to live. They call us hypocrites. So we don't want to live that. We want to be obedient to Him. Whenever I think about that, it's like we can make up these little excuses, right? Like, yeah, I told that lie, but it was just going to hurt somebody's feelings. Or I did that, this one time, and I'm not really sorry for that because it really benefited all this stuff. And so we make up these little excuses and we lie to ourselves in a way on that. But whenever I think about how we measure our sins, right, because we're like, He's going to forgive me of that. I don't even have to ask for forgiveness because that one's all good, is because I think of, like, Adam. Adam just ate a piece of, like, took a bite out of some fruit off of a tree. And so God kicks him out of the Garden of Eden and said, hey, you can't have the tree of life anymore, so you're going to start dying. And then Adam did. He died just for taking a bite out of a piece of fruit that God said not to. God said, don't do it. He did it, and so he was majorly punished. I think about Moses, right? So we have our little things that we may do here and there. Moses was told to tap on a rock for water to come out, and he tapped on it twice. And God says, because you tapped on that rock twice, you don't ever get to enter the promised land. You didn't believe me. You didn't believe that water was going to come running out whenever you tapped it that first time. I think how small and insignificant are just those two things of tapping on a rock and eating a piece of fruit, yet we go about our lives doing things that we would weigh out and consider far worse, but God just says, obey me. Level playing field, obey me, or there's punishment. But God will forgive us. That's why he sent Jesus, was to forgive us for these sins. I believe that God was serious whenever he said that he wants us to be obedient to him. And we talked about last time really repenting, like recognizing that we're making mistakes and we don't want to do that anymore, and then turning about face. But we have to be obedient to God. That's a big part of it. Number three is live out loud. Like, I think we need to live out loud. Be as bright of a follower of Jesus as we possibly can be. Don't be afraid to live a Christ-like life. Because whenever other people see us being this light, we're drawn to the light. Like, you know, you see things that are drawn to the light. It can be animals are drawn to a campfire, or those bug zapper things. Bugs are drawn to that light. So people are drawn to light. So if we're living with this light of Jesus inside of us, then people are going to be drawn to that. And whenever I think of that, I think of my friend Philip. He used to talk about living life behind the cross, because he wanted the cross out in front of him all the time. So that was the first thing that people saw in his life, was living behind that cross. He wanted them to see Jesus before they ever saw anything about him. So that's how we should live our life, is wanting to stand behind that cross, let people see that light that's just coming out of us, that's just overwhelming all the people around us. We need to stand up for what's right. If something is wrong, we need to stand our ground and not be part of something like that. Whatever the case may be, whether it be joining in on some kind of a lie or whatever the case may be, we need to step outside of that and live our life out loud. Is that my time warning? So we need to... Like, people think that whenever we follow Christ, it makes us look weak and insignificant. We look like we're weak, and that's never been the intent. Like, even if people think that it makes us look weak, we're looking very strong whenever we turn away from the things that we know that we're not supposed to be doing. Our strength is found in Jesus to get through everything. So it's not about like coming to church every Sunday or whatever, and that's like what that's not living out loud, because we show up to the church. Because me personally, I would rather that you come in on a Sunday after having missed a week and you're like, man, last Sunday was crazy. I was down at Big Rocks, and then, you know, I admit, I'm going to be like, so they chose swimming over being here. But I was down at Big Rocks, and I was telling people about Jesus, and there were five people saved down at Big Rocks because I was walking along in the river and just talking to people and telling them about Jesus and evangelizing, and five people were saved because I was out there that day. I've told you guys before, I believe the church is for coming to, for encouragement, for being equipped, and to be sent out to the world. It's our job to take the mission, to take Christ out to the world, to be that bright light out there. So if, you know, now this summer you guys are probably going to be skipping church a lot and going down to Big Rocks or whatever, and, you know, hey, do you know about Jesus? Nope. Okay, never mind then. And go on. So I want to see pictures. I want to see pictures of you like praying over people and stuff. That's going to be your witness if you go down to Big Rocks to do that. But really, though, I would really love for us to be out and being that light in the world, living our life in the light that we're supposed to. That, I believe, is our purpose as a believer in Christ, is to show the world what it's like to be a follower of Christ. We don't want to be the hypocrites. We want to be just just true to it. Like, if we're going to say that we believe everything in this book, we need to live our lives true to that. And people will see that, and they'll be drawn to us, and we get to share this joy and this hope that's inside of us that just is, it's like love beyond measure that God can give to us for people. It's love that overcomes all obstacles because we know that this world is just, it's just temporary. We also need to, as we discussed a few weeks ago, we need to spend our time in prayer. Like, we need to ask God, and where do we need to go? What do we need to be doing to be the light that we're called to? And always asking Him, and then just not being fearful about where He sends us to. Like, going into those jail cells. Did I talk about that last week? How it kind of was... Yeah, so I'm thinking it's like prison, people throwing stuff through the bars. And I was a little bit afraid of going in there. That's why I asked Cheeto to go with me, because, you know, he could stand in front of me and I could duck down like this and stand behind him. But no, I was a little bit afraid because I didn't know what was going on. But I really felt like I needed to be there, like I needed to talk to those guys and be part of that. And so we need to be prayerfully considering how we can be a light, how we can do away with any fear that holds us back from doing what we're called to do, so that we're living that light on a bright, you know, a bright hill that people are drawn to. We need to take action on what He tells us to do, instead of still just standing back reserved and not really living out loud and living fully. So that's what I believe our purpose is. That's what I want to reclaim, is for us to be a light in this world, for people to be drawn to us, so they're drawn not really to us, but that light that is inside of us, so that we can help Jesus do our part in His kingdom. So let's pray about our purpose. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning just humbly looking for our purpose, God. Some of us, we know some of our purpose. We're following Your lead. We're doing what You call us to do. But God, help us to just be bright lights, bright lives in our homes, bright lights for You at work, bright light for You at in the world, just at anything that we're doing. God, help us to be everything that You call us to be. And God, that success is only measured by You, that we don't look at that we're going and doing what we're called to do, and we're letting You worry about whether it was successful or not. Because we may look at the things that we do, and it may just look like it's just a big mess, and we don't see the whole picture, but we know that You do. So God, help us to live our lives out loud for You, to just be so full of the living water that You promised, that we're just overflowing. That people can look at us and know that there's something different. To know that we have a hope and a joy. That our love is genuine for people. There's people out there that have never really known that kind of love. God, help us to show people that love, the love that You've given us, the love that You've put inside of us. Help us to do that. It seems difficult to try to live our lives the way that You call us to, because there's so many things that we want to do, so many things that are of this world that look like they're more fun than You. But Jesus, we know that You are the ultimate giver of life, that You gave everything for us, and we want to give everything for You, but we need Your help. God, help us to love more abundantly. Help us to cast away all fears over living the life that You called us to live. Help us to forgive unlike the forgiveness that anybody's ever seen before. Thank You, Lord, for being everything that You are to us. We know that You love us. We know that You care for us more than we can imagine. Thank You for what you did here on earth, for dying on the cross so that we could be forgiven for the ways that we mess up. We thank you for that. God, help us to not have to keep coming back to you so much for forgiveness. Help us to heal of our desires that aren't desires for you. You are such an awesome, awesome Father. A good, good Father. God, give us boldness as we leave this room here today to reclaim our purpose, to be the light in this world, to draw people to you. We thank you for the purpose that you've given us. It helps to give us direction. It helps to give us everything that we need to cope with this world that we live in. Thank you, God. We also ask that you would be with us during this time as we go out for fellowship, as we spend time together just building each other up, encouraging each other, and enjoying a meal together. We just ask that you would bless this time and that it blesses you. In Jesus' name, amen.